Is there hope?
Okay. Okay. So I'm going to start again from the bottom of Samach Zayin Amud Beis just to get into the flow. And today I actually want to read, and you'll ask any questions. And Shlomo, hopefully I'll move fast enough that there'll be time for questions at the end. Okay. What questions? Oh, it's a town hall meeting today. Oh, okay. A bit of a nature. Oh, my Rav, Loshanu Elefnei Yesh, Aval Acha Yesh, Kano Ganav Rishon, Meganav Sheni Mishalim Tashlume Kefa, Leganav Rishon. So Rav makes the following claim, that the Gonev, the Mishnah says that if you steal from the Ganav, you don't pay Kefel, because that's the Bivagunami Beis HaYish, that's only if the Bailim were, it's only if there was no Yesh. If there's Yesh, then the Ganav Sheni pays Kefel as well. So the Ganav Rishon pays Kefel to the Bailim, and the Ganav Sheni gets a refund from the Ganav Sheni. Okay? So if you're going to steal and get caught, hope that somebody else steals from you. Okay? And hope that the Bailim have Yesh.
Or you just give it back.
Okay. So Omer of Sheshes, Amina Kinayim B'Shachiv Rav Omer L'Hashmaitza. Yitzi, if you're thinking in those terms, then hope that they catch the second guy and you give it back and you can make profit off the Geneva. So, Amar Rav Sheshes, Amina Kinayim B'Shachiv Rav Omer L'Hashmaitza. He thinks Rav is wrong, because the assumption behind Rav's statement, obviously is that Yesh is Koneg. Now, meaning, I steal an object from you, you have Yesh. Period, end of discussion. Now, just to think about a contrast of something we've spoken about, if I pick up an object and the Bailim have not had Yeyush yet, a lost object, and now they have Yeyush, what's the din? Do I get to keep it?
No.
Why not? I know, but they have Yeyush. Maybe Hashemid, maybe this is Hashemid Safed, there's only before Yeyush.
No, there are two aspects of Hashemid Safed. You could say that possibly your theo shava blocks their yeish, or you can just say that you own it for them.
So therefore, the correct answer usually assumed is that yeish doesn't work when it's b'shus b'ilim. Yeish doesn't work b'shus b'ilim. You are a shomer. I mean, as soon as you pick it up, and therefore a pikadon is still b'shus b'ilim even when it's in the hands of the shomer, and therefore, Yeish doesn't work. And I always tell the story, I'm sure previous generations have heard it too, of my wife's pearls that got lost during our move, and we didn't know where they were, and a couple of years later we found them in her drawer. So what if somebody had come into our bedroom and found the pearls in the room, would you say that Yeish, there was Yeish, and therefore it was meant to keep? The answer is no, because Yeish doesn't work when it's purchased by them. So if that's the case, so why does Yeish work here? So the point is that a ganav, one thing it's clear, when a ganav steals something, it still belongs to the original bailim, but it's not b'shusam, as evidenced by the Gemara Daf Samach Chasam Beis, Rabbi Yochanan's famous statement, "Gazal v'lon isyashu bailim shneim ayochom l'haktis zes l'fishen shalav zes l'fishen b'shus." So Wada, you have this evil smile on your face.
Why do we say that that the guy who gets the... Oh, no. I was going to ask a question. If you're Mosaveda, why do you consider a shomer? We discussed previously that the question whether you're showing or showing software. I was getting confused whether you're showing at all or not.
Okay. So the Gemara says the following. So Rosh Hashanah says, as Akasha, the Tanya Amar Rabbi Akiva, Neima Amar Torah, Tavach Umachar Mishalim Tashlumei Arba V'Chamish, Neish Nishtarish Bechet. Why does the Torah say that you chayev when you shecht or sell an animal? Because you become firmly rooted in chet. And the way the Gemara understands that statement right now, it means that your actions are effective. So shechita is always an effective action, at least in terms of making sure the animal is dead. And let's say proper to eat. Shechita is not a chalos, it's a maisa. You shecht the animal, it's dead, it's edible, you've done what you're not supposed to do. But mechira theoretically is a legal transaction. And there's nothing that physically changes in the object itself. So if the sale is halachically invalid, so then it's possible that maybe, you know, this is not called an effective form of bechirah. And Rabbi Akiva says the reason why you chayev dal v'hei is because you're nishtarish bechet. So if it's not an effective mechira, you should be pater from dal v'hei, according to Rabbi Akiva. So the Gemara explains, Amos, so what is the case, according to Rabbi Akiva, ilei malefnei yeyush, if you're going to say dal v'hei is a situation before you have yeyush, mi'ika nishtarish, there's no nishtarish because the sale is not a valid sale. You know, assuming there's witnesses to document everything, the original owner goes up to the guy who bought it from the ganav and says, thank you, I'll take my object back. Ah, but the guy spent money. Well, you can go deal with the ganav. That's not my problem. This object belongs to me. And there was no yayush. Ella, samika nishtarish. There was nothing effective. Ella, it must be la'achar yayush. So it must be that the only time that mechira is going to work is going to be after yayush. Now, v'i salkadai toch yayush koni, if you assume that yayush alone is kone, so my mishalim tashlum rabam chamisha, shalo tovev shalom mocha. This goes back to something we saw already once with Ravilla, that if you acquire full title to an object that you steal, you may be chayv to pay back keren, you may be chayv to pay back kefu, but you don't pay dal v'hei for an action that's undertaken afterwards, because it's shalahu tovah, shalahu mocher, and you're only chayv if you shecht or sell that which belongs to the nignav. Now, I should again remind you here of something that I suggested last week, which we should still continue to think about, the possibility that maybe this is, maybe when we say shinyo yis kone, maybe it means that it's only kone after you pay for the object. Maybe it's only kone after you pay for the object. Meaning, shina kone means that you don't have to return the original chayfetz, but it's not yours fully to avoid the penalties of dal vehei until after you pay the bailam. Once you put up the money and pay the bailam, then it's muta teshecht and sell, because it's yours. So that the Gemara does not accept that answer, because it doesn't raise that answer, and that would have been a very good answer, and it would have done away with all the questions in the sugya. Because in every one of these kashas that's going to be asked, you could simply say, sure, yeish kedi is not kone. Yeah, until you pay for it. Once you pay for it, then the Yerush is kona for you. Okay, so the Gemara doesn't allow the possibility, but it's a possibility we could have considered for Rav. It's not something that's, it's not min hanimna, it seems to me. Okay. I mean, it is min hanimna, but
it's not min hanayim.
It's not something that on our own, it's not that we couldn't posit and Rav could have potentially held that. The Gemara does not accept such a svar, but it can't be totally ruled out as Rav's original intent. So now the Gemara answers, Kedam Amri, Kedam Aravam, Nishishana Bechet, Hachanam Nishishana Bechet. The B'nai Beis Medrash suggested, just like Rava said elsewhere, to answer a similar type kasha, namely on the bottom of this Amud, in a different sugya, that Nishishtarish Bechet doesn't refer to the legal efficaciousness of the action, but rather refers to simply the moral perfidy, that's the word. Of the action, in which case it doesn't matter whether it's an effective sale or not. The bottom line is that you've now acted as a bailam on the chayfetz, which isn't even yours, and you've done things with it normally only that no one have chutzpah to do unless they weren't about to buy them. And so that's what's called nishtarish b'chayt. But it's a balabatish nishtarish b'chayt, not a brisker nishtarish b'chayt. Toshma utvacho o mecharo ma tvicha shena choseres am achiru shena choseres, just as tvichas nach choseres. Unless you can revive the behemoth, and to the best of my knowledge,
put the head back on.
What's that?
You have to be able to sew the head back on.
Yeah, I know, but you also have to bring it back to life. They did experiments with that actually during the brain death issue. That I think what they tried, Rabbi Tendler was trying to prove to Rosh Shlomo Zalman that brain death is really dead. And that it should be treated, physiological decapitation should be treated like physical decapitation. And I don't remember what the experiment was to prove that the animal could look like it was living even after they decapitated the head and they sewed the blood vessels together so it circled around and the heart continued beating and, you know, the animal wasn't dead immediately or didn't die immediately. So something like that. They did some experiments with that. I'm not sure that proves anything, but anyway, I don't think Rosh Shlomo Zalman was convinced. No. One might think Rabbi Tendler's right independently of that experiment, but his point was to try to show that physiological, that, you know, you can have physical decapitation, the heart's still beating, and, you know, physiological decapitation is the same thing as physical decapitation. Okay. Be that as it may, generally speaking, with the exception of three incidents in Tanakh, no living beings come back to life. Wilder's wondering. It's Eliyahu. Easy to know. Elio did it once, and therefore Elisha has to do it twice, because he had Pishnayim. They each did a kid, and then Elisha, when he died, and they buried him, there were skirmishes going on, and they put some guy in his cave, it touched Elisha's body, and got up and walked away. It's a machlokas chazal, whether he dropped dead subsequently, just to get him out of Elisha's kever, or he got some chiyas for that. Yeah. Anyway...
Well, kids, if you say that the one you had for one is a metaphor, kids also count that?
That was many, but that was a metaphor. It was a vision.
Yeah,
Yeah, okay, fine. Is it machlokas in the Gemara? One of them says, one of them was my grandfather. I have his tefillin. It's the Gemara Chelak. Okay.
And I sat on his grave.
No, that's Sanhedrin. That's Mitzvah Gemara.
If it was his grandfather, I mean, he's dumb.
Okay. Anyway, so the Gemara says the following. So, if ticha, mat ticha in a chozeres, it's irreversible. Af bechir shein a chozeres. Emas, ilim, lefnei yeshe, mayin a chozeres. It is reversible. It's not a binding sale. Now, the truth is, it's not chozeres. That's not the Gemara's kasha is not such a good kasha. A sale before Yeish, is it a chozeres? No, it's not a sale. Which, in some ways, is what the Gemara answered. It doesn't attack the question, but could have attacked the question. In other words, a mechira which is betela, it's not that it's chozeres. The Gemara's teretz is going to be, so maybe isal kadaita kanye amay mishalem elacha Yeish, isal kadaita kanye because Yeish kiri is kanye amay mishalem dal behei, shalohu tovea, shalohu mocher. So the Gemara's answer is, "Can I marav Nachman prat l'shehikna l'shloshim yom hachinami prat l'shehikna l'shloshim yom?" What does hikna l'shloshim yom mean? We have another term for that. Rashi uses it. It's a rental. It's a rental, right? Now, the truth is, it's not a rental. Why does the Gemara not call it schiras? Because the Gemara assumes probably. I don't know if anybody brings the sugya as a raya, but the pashya says maybe it is. The Gemara assumes that sheila lokanya schiras lokanya. Why is that important? It's important in another sugya. There is a Mishnah in Avodah Zarah in the first parak that says you're not allowed to sell cattle to non-Jews. Now, contrary to what some might think, this is not a reflection of the Jewish antipathy towards Gentiles, but rather out of the concern that a Jew might rent or lend, or one other possibility called nisione, let the Gentile try out his behema. And the behema might do work on Shabbos, and that would be a violation of Shrisas behema. And if the behema doesn't belong to the Jew, so it's not a problem. There's no din of Shrisas behema by the behema of a guy, just as there's no din of Shvisa by the guy himself. But a Jew's behema may not do work for humans on Shabbos, or I presume on Yantav, I don't know presumably on Yantav also. And as such, one is not, if She'ela is not Kanya, if we don't say that the behema belongs to the Gentile, by she'ela or schiras, so then if you lend or rent your animal to the guy and does work on Shabbos, you violate an issur d'oraisa or shvisas behema. Now, if you say that she'ela and schiras akanya, so then why did the chachamim prohibit one from selling the animal to the non-Jew? So that's what the Gemara of Avodah Zarah says, nishum nisioni. Nisioni means that if someone wants to try it out, that Rashi and Chumash, everything comes back to Rashi and Chumash, right? Why was it good? Why was it Moshe Rabbeinu say it was good in his eyes to send a raglam? Clearly, he couldn't have been in faith in raglam. He knew that it was ill motivation. So I think Rashi quotes there, probably the Sifrei, that it's like a merchant. You come to me and you say, I'm interested in your behema. I say, okay. Then you say to me, but how do I know it's, but can it work in the mountains? I said, sure, go try. How about, can it work in the valley? Sure, go try it. Can it carry, 200-pound loads? Sure, go try it. And after you hear me talk like that, and I give you permission to try it, what do? You say, okay, I'll take it. Because if I'm so confident, I'm willing to try it out. Obviously, I'm not trying to pull the wool over your eyes. So Moshe Rabbeinu figured, like the idea, you tell me, great, you want some rock, I'll tell you yes. And he figured, well, okay, at this point, you trust me, and you should move on, but they didn't. I believe that's where this is. So nisioni means you let the guy try out the behema. If the guy tries out the behema, clearly it's not his until he makes a kinyan and pays for it, whatever the din exactly by a guy. It's kesef, hazaka, it's a machlokas hamorayim, what a guy is kona with. It depends. It's the opposite of what a Jew is kona with, usually. That's the way we assume. Okay. So, technically speaking, being machnet to somebody for shloshim yom is not the same thing as renting them for 30 days. This then, by the way, is an important question. Rav Shechter, whenever he wants to, reminds me of the Briskor Haggadah when someone came to Rav Chaim and complained to him that all he had was chumras, he had no kulas, and he listed 10 kulas, all of which were really chumras, but whatever. So it reminds Rav Shechter saying that people always come and say that, the world changes, so halacha should change along with it. So he said, yeah. So once upon a, he quote, refers to some common Rav Shach has in his sefer, that once upon a time the Gemara says Shela is Lokanya and Tzchir is Lokanya, but he thinks Bizman Azeh that Shela is Shela and Tzchir is Lokanya today. So why does that matter? It matters for mezuzah on your apartment. So, you know, you get married and everybody says, well, in chutz la'aretz you have 30 days to get a mezuzah on an apartment that's rented. If it does, if it's a bias, then you have to have the mezuzah immediately. But if it's shela or schira, so then you have 30 days to put a mezuzah on. So he says, but that's only true if you hold shela and schira slokanya. But if you hold shela kanya, schira skanya, so then you no longer have that kula. So yes, halacha should be updated. Okay. Rav Shechter would also have kulas as well, but that comes from one angle. So anyway, so then this is very much halacha lemaisa, at least in this context according to Shech, the issue of schiris kan shcher lo shelo kan, but the Gemara doesn't refer to it as schiris because schiris for the Gemara, at least by yamim ahem, not basman hazeh, was something else. Okay. So the Gemara says that that's what a mechira chozeris is. Now it's a mechira for 30 days. It's a mechira for 30 days. Okay. Now, the hardest part of this shock of Atarya, not the most interesting, but the hardest part is following the next brisa. So we read through it. So you have one ganav steals, and the other one steals from him. Now, the Mishnah, the brisa is not going to say anything about Yesh, but you have to consider one of two possibilities. Either there was Yesh, or there wasn't Yesh. So one guy steals, and the other guy comes and steals from him. Arisha, Mishalim, Tashlim, Ekefim, Ashenim, Mishalim, Ela, Karen, Bilvad. That's what you would have expected the din to be, just based upon the Mishnah. Hakone v'achar ganav, the first ganav pays kefil, the second ganav only pays karen. Ganav u'machar u'ba'achar u'ganav harishon. So you have what happens if a guy steals and he sells it. Now assume he's stealing an animal, so that immediately should be mechayev him in dalad v'hei. U'ba'achar u'ganav, when someone comes and steals it from the buyer. Now that if the buyer has really acquired it, so the second guy is going to be chayev in theory and kefil also. So ba'achar gnava risha mishalim tashlum erbav chamisha, as we would expect. Vasheni mishalim tashlum kefil. Finally, so far it doesn't seem out of place. Finally, gnav v'tavach ba'achar gnava. If one guy steals and slaughters and someone else steals from him. And that is a strange din. Why is it a strange din? You expect why? Yeah, in lechashinu gadol mizeh yishach the behema. So the second gan, the ganav when he's toveach umochar schayev dal vehei, but at the same time he's kone the behema. So now when a guy steals the carcass from him, so he's chayev to pay two carcasses. Yes.
This is probably a bigger question than Kif, but when did the factor of Yeush come into this area? I mean, is it possible to look at this bright head, not even talking about before or after Yeush as a factor?
You could say both, but you're gonna have to. In other words, the Brisa may not be focused on Yeush, but it has to make an assumption there either was or wasn't Yeush, and presumably that should have ramifications.
Well, what I'm saying is maybe we shouldn't presume then to say that the factor of Yeush, or the idea of Yeush wasn't a factor in talking about this. And simply, if he sells it, then it's the other person, so that's why he pays kefil. But in the other two cases, ain't I going about Aragon, Michelin kefil only pays carrot.
Well, look.
So in that case, that's why going after ganav plain and tavach after ganav hatoveach.
No, but again, you want to say there's no yeush here. Yeush plays no role. So when you steal, when you take the second case for a moment, right? Ganav u'machar ba'ach ganav harishon mishtan teshlum bechamish v'shem mishtan teshlum kefil. Why does the second guy pay teshlum kefil? Presumably because the kone acquired it from the ganav. So, but let's say a ganav stole something and he sold it before and there was no yeush. Would the kone be kone?
Well, my question is maybe, when would the factor of yeush come up? Who begins to discuss the yeush?
The Mishnah in Kalim, Rabbi Shimon?
About
Stam Ganeva, Stam Gzela. And with the question of whether or not the ganav / goslan has the ability to give the kli a status lekabel toma. It's early. Yeush is an early concept. Nation is Yashua Bailan. Yeah, you can't ignore Yeush is a Tanaitic issue, and it's a Tanaitic issue in the context of Kenyan. And we said when we learned the Bekias quickly on Daf Samach Vav Amud Beis, the pashtus of the Mishnah and Kalim, pashtus is that Yeush Kedi is Kani. It's the pashtus. I mean, And therefore, what Rav says, you know, Rav and Eretz Yisrael, Reish Lakish is going to say it, and Rava said it, what they said is probably Pashtus. It's later, and you see, even Rav's Talmidim in the Sugya and Gittin, we didn't talk about that yet, but Rav Yehuda and Ula on Gittin, on the Tikkun Olam Mishnah of Al Chatash Nodol the Rabim Shehimecha Peres Nei Tikkun Am Izbeach, where the Gemara there is a Machlokas Yehuda, Rav Yehuda and Ula, where the Eshkedi is Kani. Again, you can see that's where the issue is first starting to heat up. Where, you know, maybe they're starting to backtrack on Rav, but they don't remember. Right, and in fact, it's Rav Yehuda, who's the Talmud of Rav, who says, Yesh Kedi Is Kani. And Ula and Rav are often Bar Pluktas, and Rav continues in the tradition of Rav Yehuda and Rav and says that Yesh Kedi Is Kani. It seems that by the time you get to the fourth generation, you know, in Rav and Mechosa and Abaye, wherever Abaye is, Surah, I don't know, where's Abaye? I should know this, it's my field. What?
According to Dr. Elman,
he's in Pumbedisa. There is no... What's the deal? Surah, which was destroyed? Narda was destroyed. So Rava, even more so, which is more important for our purposes, you know, seems to be denying the possibility of Yeush, the way he responds to, you know, to the whole discussion earlier, Yeush Kedi Is Kani. But it seems, Tanaitic sources in the early Amoraim, that they just assume, as Davar Pashat, that Yeush Kedi Is Kani. So I think you can't really ignore in reading the Brisa. You have to ask the question, you know, where are we holding?
I guess we'll see everything that goes on in this break here. Simply talking about the question of in Hagone, Achar Hagana, Mishal, and Chumati.
Okay, but the Brisa is assuming that someone who's Konim in Hagana is Kone, so that the guy who steals from him does pay Kefel. And the question is, why is it Konim and Aganim? Is that you would be positing then that there is a concept among the Tana, and they don't know of Yesh, but it's an assumption that if I steal something from you and I sell it, it automatically belongs to the Konim.
No, not even.
Yes.
It doesn't need to actually have been a sale, but it needs to seem like a sale to the second Gano.
You mean it only... But the whole point... No. You see, this is a case of ignoring the Drasha and just moving on to the Maskana. You're saying that Hagone min Haganav is Pater. Why is Hagone min Haganav Pater? It's not because of the moral opprobrium attached to the Ganav. It's because the Torah says, Vigunav mi beis ha'ish. So a Kone, even if he's not a Ganav, is not the Ish.
Well,
the reason why you're not Chayiv Kefa when you steal from a Ganav is because it doesn't belong to him. Because it's not the gunami base ha'ish, it doesn't belong to the bailam. Ha'ish is the bailam, right? What makes this person an ish and this person not an ish? The answer is because it's his. So in order to be chayiv for stealing something from anybody, it must belong to that person.
I mean, I don't know,
isn't that a little... No, that's the drasha of a gunami base ha'ish, right?
You're belong to
Tagano. Right.
But maybe the point here is that it's not so much... using the Beit HaIsh, we're focusing on the Beit
HaGana. You can't do... Let me give you another great example of where, apropos to contemporary discussions in Yeshiva University about the appropriateness of certain subjects being taught in the college. Everybody says... The Rambam says whatever he says in Hilchas Avodah Zarah and Perek Beis about, you know, not reading Sifrei Minim, okay? And I take it as a Davar Pashut that the only way to explain that Rambam is a person who's engaged in true free inquiry, not someone who's simply reading something for, call it academic interest or whatever other purposes he has. And the Rambam says that a person can say, well, I won't stray. And that can only way to reconcile it with the Rambam's own personal choices. And there is probably evidence for that elsewhere, something I don't think any of you were around for that. Were you across the Estes apartment?
Yeah.
I don't know if
yeah.
So I spoke about the Rambam Peir Shemeshnayas and Pesachim,
yeah,
about the Sefer Refus that Chizkiah was gones. So what people often will respond to explain the Rambam's and Havodah Zarah versus the Rambam Mor Nevuchim is it's Lahavin Lahoros. It's only mutter because it's the Paskin. Now the truth is, if you actually look what the Rambam read and that great line about the Sabaeans, that if only we knew more about the Sabaeans, we'd understand everything in Chumash and all the Chukim, which is a really funny thing. He says, woe to that their books have been lost. I mean, that's pretty wild. You know, destroying their books is a kiyum of being destroyed by the Zara. But it's a shame because we can't understand Torah properly anymore. But the Rambam there, trust me, the Rambam on the Sabaeans, that wasn't Lahavin Ulahoros, right? Nobody was asking Shilas anymore about that. They were long gone, the Sabaeans. The Rambam says, and I only know this from books, could you imagine someone who saw their actions live? What's the problem with saying Lahavan Lahoros means so I know how to paskin a shayla? So for starters, the Sifrei is Girsal, though it's not the way the Bavli has it, is Lahoros to Lahavan, which means to paskin and to understand. Now, I would generally like to believe that when poskin paskin shaylas, they understand first and then they paskin, although sometimes, what? Lovely, but that's nice for Matan Torah, that's not so nice for posik paskin and halacha. So lahoros lahavin cannot mean to learn, to understand, so that you should paskin. It's two different things. And Rashi says, Rashi, even though he has lahavin lahoros on Chumash, Rashi and Chumash again, so he says lahavin kama mekukol maseh, and that may not be the only possible interpretation. What is really aser? What's really aser is to learn with the interest in doing. How do I know that? Because everybody forgets the drasha, lo silmad laasos. The Sifrei writes, Lasos iata lamed avalata lamed lahorosu lahavin. The prohibition is learning to do. If you want to extend it even for the Rambam, perhaps learning with a sense of inquiry that a person's really searching. Of course, a person who's genuinely searching is not going to listen to the Rambam anyway, not to study those books, but that's a side point. But the iser is lo simat lasos. In the same way that in our case here, it has to be begunabi beis ha'ish. You can't focus on the drasha. In the same way, going back to yesterday's comment, I might say that the reason why the Rush can get away with saying what he says about the tficha, the dal of a hay being kishas tficha, not kishas amad adin, is because the ikar is ahi like karen kein shaganav. Now, the drush of the pasuk is take the karen and make that kein shaganav. Everything else, well, he says kishas amad adin, but the ikar was the drusha, both the karen and not other things, and the karen is kein shaganav. What the other things are, they're not kein shaganav. So anyway, we could pursue this a little more when we get to this Iyun, but I don't think it's, I think that given that Yeush already appears in the Mishnah and Kalim, I think that you really have to allow for that being a factor.
But I think that you can find Drasha with that. Clearly you focus not on the Pasuk, but on what the Drasha is supposed to be. I think you can find both of those.
Okay.
The line here.
All right. So, now the Gemara says as follows. Let's read this chaz of the cases quickly. Case number one, Ganav steals. Ganav steals from him. First one pays Kefal, second one pays Karen. Second case, Ganav steals. Ganav sells. Another Ganav steals from the buyer. Okay. Ganav Rishon pays Dal V'Hei. Ganav Sheni pays Kefal, which means that the buyer actually owned it. Otherwise, it wouldn't be V'Gunami Beseish. Third case, Guy steals. Guy Shech. Ganav steals. Ganav Shech. Ganav steals from the Ganav. Halacha, Ganav Rishon pays Dal V'Hei, Ganav Sheni only pays Karen, not Kefal. That case is going to be strange no matter what, which is, as you see, rather than uses that as the excuse to sort of rework things. So what is the Gemara, but how does the Gemara present the question? So it starts with, I believe, a Katani Miha, right? You got to pull out the piece that's relevant. Katani Miha Mitziyasa, Gonav Umachar Uba'achar Ugnavo, Harisha Mishan Teshlamei Dal V'Hei, Vasheni Mishan Teshlamei Kefal. A guy steals, a guy sells, another guy steals from the buyer. Din Ganav pays Dal V'Hei, second Ganav pays Kefal. Amos, when is this true that the second Ganav pays Kefal? Ile Malifnei Yeyush. If you're going to say it takes place before the Baile Med Yeyush, Sheni Amai Mishan Tashlamei Kefal. Why does the second Ganav pay Kefal for stealing it from someone to whom it doesn't belong? Because if there was no Yeyush, then all you had was Sheni Rishus from the Ganav to the buyer, and the buyer doesn't acquire it halachically. Sheni Rishus below Yeyush, Me'ikal Amanda Amar Dekani. And David, you want to say that, yes.
I want to say it's irrelevant.
No, it's totally relevant. Oh, I'm sorry. Never mind. You're right. You want to say it's irrelevant. True. Elapshita la'achar yeish. It must be after yeish. And that's why the second Ganav pays kefel to the kone. V'isal gadai tech yeish kone. If the yeish was kone, my mishan tashlame dalad v'hei didehu dezabin. The Ganav Rishon, when he sold it, it was his, so he should only pay kefel not dalad v'hei. The two. On top of that, if you assume that this is talking about a case, if case number two out of three is talking about a case where it's after Yeyush, so then presumably cases one and three is also after Yeyush. The two, the Katani, Resha Ganav Bachar Gnavo, Risha Mishan Tashlame Kefal, Hashena Mishan Lekeren. So if it's a case where the Rishon steals it and there's Yeyush, and then the second one steals it, so Michdi Lacha Yeyush Kaimina, and Visakadai Tachyesh Kone, Shena Mainim Shan Lekeren. Both guys should pay Kefal. Because the first guy stole from the owner, and the second guy stole from the first Ganav after there was Yeush, so the Ganav Rishon was Kona. El Olav Shmam Ino Yeush Lo Koni. The Kasha L'Rav. Amar Rava, v'tizbra, does this make any sense? Hamitaretztahi? This brisa is not yashar. I think I probably mentioned this. The word teretz, which is not a biblical Hebrew word, is actually an Akkadian word, taratzum, to make straight. So the brisa isn't straight. It's mishabeshta. It's crooked. It's messed up. Ella de katani seifa ganava tavachu bacha ganava risha mashan tashlumi dal behe vishenin mashan lakeren umik lamandam rashini maise lokani. How can the second ganav not pay kefal? The first ganav was kona through the tvicha. Now, it's obvious when you see the Gemara's teretz later that this rhetorical question has an answer. Umika lamanda amad deshina maisa lokani, and the answer is? Yes, beishama. Okay, but fine. We don't like to make prices beishama. Ela la'olam kula fnei yeish. Really, everything is before yeish. V'ipuch seifa l'mitziyasa mitziyasa l'seifa. You have to reverse the dinim. V'eima hachi. Ganav umachar, this is just, this is already the second case. The first case becomes obvious if it's before Yesh, right? If it's before Yesh in the first case, you only the Ganav Rishon pays Kefel, because the Ganav Sheni didn't steal it from the Ish. They stole it from Ganav Rishon who never owned it. So that we don't have, that doesn't require explanation. Now, this is, so the Eimahachi, this is the way we say the second and third cases. Ganav umachar barachar ganavo. Same case, but what's the din? Harishon mishalim tashlumi dal behei. Vasheni. In other words, the way it worked in the second and third case of the Braisa, the Ganav paid Dal Behe in both cases, one for Mechira, one for Tzvicha. In the second case, the Ganav Sheni, in that case it was from the buyer, Ganav Sheni Menakone. In case number two, the Ganav Sheni paid Kefel. In case three, the Ganav Sheni, the one who stole from the Ganav, the dead animal, only paid Karen. So basically, Rebbe says, just reverse them. So let's do Baal Peh just first for a second. So if a guy steals and sells, but there was no Yeush, and then a Ganav steals from the Koneh, it's Ganav Rishon pays Dal V'hei because he stole it and sold it, and it wasn't his. It's not like it was Shalom Ocher. And the Koneh never actually acquired title to it because there was no Yeush, it was Shinu Rishos alone, and therefore the guy who steals from the Koneh only pays Karen. Perfect. The second case is where Ganav Etavach Ubachar Ugnavo, so the Ganav Rishon again pays Dal Vehe because he slaughtered that which belonged to the Bailim. Once he's Toveach, he makes a Shina, and that's why the Ganav Sheni pays Kefel. It works out beautifully. So that's what Rabbah says. Again, Ve'im Ahachi, Ganav Umachar Ubachar Ugnavo, Rishon Mishan Tashlim, Rabbah Chamisha Vashena, and Mishan Akeren, that's the switch. The Shina Rishis below Yesh, Lo Kani, and therefore it's not Begunami Besayish. Ganav, the third case of the Braisa, Ganav etavach ubachar gnavo harisha mishan tashlum erba v'chamisha v'shein mishan tashlum ekeifel. Why dekani b'shinu ma'isa? Okay, that was Rava's approach to it. Very reasonable. Comes along. Of course, it's not nice to emend braises, though. It's really not a nice thing to do. And so Rapapa comes along with a very clever suggestion. Rapapa amala olam lo tepuch. Don't reverse the cases. Seifa Beishamahi, you want to know why? First problem you got to deal with is the Seifa Beishamahi. Beishamahi, the Amri Shinui Bimkoma Omeid. Now, we still don't have to explain. Rav Papa, of course, could reject Rav, but he's not rejecting Rav. Note again here that Rav Papa's suggestion here is against Rava's suggestion on Sadi Hei, Atzadi Dalit, and in favor of Abaye. Abaye claimed that Beishamahi holds that Shinui is not Kona. However, as Tosis pointed out earlier, when we encounter Beishamai Shita, Rava says, no, there's no evidence that Beishamai holds that Shina is not Kona. Beishamai says it by the din of Esnan Zona, where a Zona takes Chitim and grinds it up and makes flour that it's not allowed to be brought as a Mincha, because Gam Shinehem, Gam L'Rabo Shinu Yehem. So Rava said, no, Shina is Kona, but that's Mos Lagavoa, that's a special din Lagabe Hektesh. So Rapapa seems to be going with the flow of Abayi, not with Rava's rejection. So ihachi kasha reisha mitziyasa l'rav. So amar rav zvid le'olam kula lifnei yeish. Now you know what it is before yeish. V'hacha b'mayaskin, and nezer mean it's all before yeish. She nisyashu abaylim b'lo keach v'lo nisyashu b'ganav. The baylim did not have yeish until it reached the hands of the kona. They don't have yeish in the hands of the ganav rishon, only yeish in the kona. So when, and this is just really how it just happened that way. There's a when you go to the ratio, when a Ganav steals from a Ganav, there was no Yeish yet, so therefore the Ganav Sheni only pays Karen. In the middle case of the Braisa, where the Ganav Sheni pays Kefel for stealing from the Kona, you know what it's talking about? It's talking about a case where there was no Yeish, the Kona buys it from the Ganav, then the Bailim of Yeish. And now the Ganav steals from the Kona. Now this is actually... this is actually somewhat interesting, because what does it suggest about Yeush? That even when we say that Yeush plus Shinu Rishus is Kona, what does that mean? It means even Shinu Rishus plus Yeush. I always thought that when we say Yeush and Shinu Rishus is Kona, it means once you have Yeush, it dislodges it enough, May Rishus Habaylam, that now a Shinu Rishus completely dislodges it. But I would have thought that Shinu Rishus plus Yeush in itself might not be enough, because when you do the Shinu Rishus initially, that has zero effect. Now that you do Yeush, well, that's like Yeush if the Ganav had stolen it. If you hold Yeush Kedilo Kani, and the Ganav steals it, Yeush itself is not enough to be Kona. So I would have said that if the Ganav sells to someone else, that person is not Kona at all either. When you have Yeush in the hands of the Kona, he still doesn't own it, but if he sells it to someone else, then that person is Kona. I always thought it was Yeush, then Shinu Rishus. David?
Conceptual description why you would need Shinu Rishus in the first place. Maybe.
Correct. You're right, but I might be wrong.
The reason why you would need what Shinu Rishus would do is the reason why the person alone can't become the owner of an item after he is. Maybe the Isser of stealing is prohibiting that. Shinu Rishus is moving it into the Rishus of someone who doesn't have that Isser, and that's why they can own the item.
So why by an Aveda?
So let's say Shinu Rishus occurred. Then the moment Yeush happens, there's nothing holding back the Kinyan Chatzer of the person who now holds it, because there's no Isser on him.
Let me ask you the following question. If a guy buys from the Ganav, assume he doesn't know it's stolen, right, and there's no Yeush yet, so to whom does it belong?
It belongs to the
original owner. Is the Kona a Rasha? Does he intend to steal? No. So why didn't you say he's now a Shomer for the original Bailim?
Because he has no thought of the original Bailim.
Yeah, but if you came to him and told him, you know, it belongs to somebody, after returning, he said, you know what, I'm going to return it because it doesn't belong to me. So he doesn't know that. Just as the Shomer Aveda doesn't know to whom it belongs, granted the Shomer Aveda knows it doesn't belong to himself.
But he has intent to watch whoever it does belong to.
Okay, fine, so that's what you'll have to say. That's what you'll... I agree. I but notice that it's a little bit of a chiddush.
I don't think it's an illogical one or one that's even a stretch.
Okay, fine. To me, it came as a little bit of news. Because, again, my assumption would have been... Yeah, all right.
I agree with your assumption. I'm saying you could create
right.
Certain...
Now, I want to point out also, it's not going to be clear that this is true Lamaskanas HaGemara, because the Gemara first says here, it says, even though it is Yeush and Shinu Rishus, in other words, the Yeush alone is enough. And the Ganav would be, the second Ganav would be Chayv Kefil. The reason why you have a Yeush and Shinu Rishus here is the Lo Mashkachas, the Meshalmi Tarvayev, Ganav Rishon, the Ganav Sheni, Ela Bahachi. The only way to have Dalet Vehe by the first Ganav is if the first Ganav does what? Either he's Tover, but then you can't. That's the truth. That's not our case. If he's Mocher, the only way to have by Dalet Vehe is if he's Mocher. So if you had Yeush before he was Mocher, you wouldn't be Chayv Dal Vehei, because Shalot Tavash Shalom Mocher, Yeush Kedikani. So the only way to get an if there's never Yeush, so the Ganav Sheni won't be Chayv Kefel, because it's not Vigunami Beseyush. So the only way, therefore, to get it is to have no Yeush, Mechira, then Yeush, Bershus Kona, and that's the only way you can get the Ganav Ishan Chayv Dal Vehei, and the Ganav Sheni Chayv in Kefel. I wonder why is they didn't have the second Ganav sell it also, and be chayv dal v'hei like the first Ganav. But okay. So what now, the truth is, from the Svara perspective, the Gemara never says that Shinu Rishus plus Yeush is Kona. In that order. But the language of the Gemara, when it says, V'lo tema mishum d'be'in and Yeush v'shinu Rishus, makes it sound like it would have been a perfectly good case of Yeush plus Shinu Rishus, even though it's Shinu Rishus plus Yeush. But you could just say it's, you know, the Gemara was being imprecise because it just wanted to point out to you that the Shinu Rishus was irrelevant, that all that mattered was Yeush. Okay, we'll come back to that. I'm going to let that point go now. We'll come back to that when we do it in Niyun. We're not going to spend much time on this in Niyun, but because it's pretty much, you know, pretty straightforward, but if we need to, we'll talk about it then. Okay, fine. Any questions about that? Going once? Going twice? Sold. Okay. Itamar. What is Itamar short for?
It.
Thank you. I just wanted to hear. You know, once every 3 months is not a bad thing. Itamar. Okay. Itamar became Itamar. Okay. Hamocher lefnei Yeush. If you sell before Yeush, I wouldn't want y'all to go home disappointed. Mishum hamocher lefnei Yeush. If someone sells before Yeush, now we're going to go to the flip side of the coin. The assumption until now, of course, was that if you sell before Yeush, you chayav dal v'hei. Now the Gemara presents the following. According to Rav, you certainly are. Why? If according to Rav, you'd be pater on Mechira before Yeush, what would the problem be according to Rav? There would never be the Dal v'hei on Mechira. It'd be Oker Pasuk Min HaTorah. Your Pasuk should have read Ki Gnav Yeush Seh Shara Seh Utfacho Chamisha Vakar, because Mechira Lachar Yeush you pater because Shalot HaVeh Shalom Mocher according to Rav, because Yeush is Kona. And in Mechira before Yeush is not a sale, and therefore it's not Umcharo. So here the Gemara says, you have a machlokas amoram. Itmar mochel if neyesh, or nachman amarchai, versheshes amar potter. Or nachman amarchai, umchoro amarachman of azabin. Loshna if neyesh, loshna achaleyesh. Rav Nachman says, the Torah says, and you sell it, he sold it. Versheshes amar potter, chiyuvi lachar yeshu, it's only after yesh, da ahanu masav. That his actions were legally efficacious. Aval if neyesh, da lahanu masav, lo machayev, lo michayev, dumyo de tvicha. By the way, there's a Michayev, by the way, which is short for Mischayev, the tough assimilated. Okay, so he's not Chayev. He's not Chayev, according to Rosh Hashanah, before Yeush, because it's not an effective sale. So you can immediately see in Rashi, actually, Rashi points this out, and it's not characteristic of Rashi, that there are three Shitos. Rav says, Chiyuvei of Dal Vehei is before Yeush. Rosh Hashanah says, it's Dafka Lacha Yeush. At least by Mechira. And at Tzvicha, the Gemara, the Sugya doesn't say. But there's a different Sugya we have to deal with about that, which we skip. Well, we didn't skip over. Where is it? Samach Zayin? No, where is it? It must be Samach Tesamajes. Where's the discussion of the Hekesh between Tzvicha and Mechira? It's not Ayin Amajes. Maybe it is. Maybe it's later in the Parak. I'm sorry. It might be somewhere later in the Parak. By Trefa. Yeah, it's later in the Parak. There's a Machlokas. If you Mochar Trefa. Whether or not you chayav dal v'hei, because if there's no tzvicha that you chayav on, assuming Rabbi Shimon Shita, which almost everybody does except for the Mishnah, meaning the Mechiltas assume that tzvicha's treifa you pater on. So if tzvicha's treifa you pater on, what's the din of Mechira's treifa? That was machlokes hamarayim alibid Rabbi Shimon, reyochan reish lakish. So, but we'll leave that out for the moment. I don't know what the din according to Rav Sheshis would be by tzvicha. What if you do tzvicha lefnei yeush? It's bin asvara, you'd be chayav because it's a hanu masav, it's dead.
Well,
right?
Yeush that won't come into play then because you have a shinui.
No, but the shinui is only the shinui is only after you complete the act. No, Adarab, according to what you're saying, everybody should hold your patron dal v'hei before Yeush. You should. According to what you're saying, you should never be chayv on tvicha. You have the opposite kumas for you're never chayv on tvicha because you're always kone. It's a shalot of ashal mocha. So the answer is we always look at the start of the tvicha, right? So you might say, you can say that tvicha is always a hanu masav, or you could say it's hukash lemechira, in which case you would be pater. But anyway, see, that's not about tvicha. The sum certainly mechira. So Rav says that the chiyuv of tvicha mechira is dafka before yesh. And Rav Sheshet says at least the chiyuv mechira is dafka la'achar yesh. And Rav Nachman says it's both, because he, like Rav Sheshet, hold that yesh kedi is lokani. Rav Sheshet says that you still need to be after yesh so that the mechira is binding. And Rav Nachman says you don't need a binding mechira; you just need a balabatish mechira. Shalom.
How do we know there are enough?
You mean because it's the stem of the Gemara filling in his view? The Gemara does say beferish lo shnaf neyesh lo shnachar yesh.
Right. I mean, I guess except for that, the other half of the Gemara says that specifically uses the word chiyuv there. I would have thought that mechira. He's just talking about mechira and lo shnaf neyesh. I wouldn't have read it. dafka the chiyuv.
I don't get it. If those words, Rav Nachman, Rav Chaim, again, that's not Rav Nachman's statement. That's the Gemara filling in Rav Nachman, right. The Hesber from Nachman. That's standard rule. Rav Amar X, Shmuel Amar Y. Rav Amar X, reason, Shmuel Amar Y. Reason, those reasons are midivrei HaGemara. They might be the original, they might reflect the original intent, but they're not from the words of the Amar, not quotations. But if Rav Nachman does indeed say, Mecharo Amar Rachman of Hazabin, Lo Shnal Feyesh, Lo Shnal Feyesh, if he says that entire sentence, so he's saying that the Chiyav, a Mechira of Yesh, is a Mechira an animal, is before or after Yesh. You know, if not, then you don't have a raya that he disagrees with Rav. Rosh Hashanah obviously has to disagree with Rav because if he says that a mochel lefnei yesh is pater, then the only time you chayev is lachar yesh. And obviously, he doesn't agree. But without that line in the Gemara, you can't prove that Rav Nachman disagrees with Rav.
But even with that line, I was meaning can't it just be when it says lushna lachar yesh, lushna lefnei yesh, that Mechira is not called Mechira? Not a question of the
Chiyuv
created by Mechira?
I don't understand. It says, Umecharo Amar Chayiv, Umecharo Amar Rachmana, V'hazabein.
Right, and this is a...
And therefore it's Chayiv. And Lo Shnal Yesh, Lo Shnal Chayiv.
No, you
added
in, therefore. That, right, and
therefore... Rav Nachman Amar Chayiv, Umecharo Amar Rachmana, V'hazabein.
Which just isolates V'hazabein, meaning it's a sale, whether it's before Yesh or after Yesh.
And therefore, what's the din?
It's different before Yesh and after Yesh.
Then he's not arguing on Rav. Then he's not arguing on Rav Sheshes.
No, then he is, because it's saying before Yesh is still called a sale. And therefore, Chayav. Before Yesh.
Before Yesh is called a sale, just like after Yesh.
He's not saying Yesh is Chayav after Yesh.
Called a sale.
Say that again, before Yesh.
He's just trying to prove that before Yeush you are Chayav. He's not saying anything about after Yeush necessarily. So he's just saying that it's still called a sale, regardless of whether it's regardless of Yeush, it's called a sale, and therefore it's Chayav before Yeush. Even in the oral explanation, you wouldn't have to say that.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
I think the only problem with that is that when the Gemara explains Rosh Sheshet, it seems more explicit that they're saying the Chiyuv is
I hear it technically fits in. The rest of the Suyu certainly doesn't assume that way. That I think is clear. Rav Sheshes Amar Pata Chiyuv Elachar Yeshu Dahanu Masa Lefnei Yesh Lanu Masa Lama Chayidu Mitzvicha Bina Dahanu Masa. Okay. Fine. So Rashi does say, your suggestion aside, is that Rav holds that the Chiyuv is dafin lefnei yesh after yesh tvicha mechir is pater because shelo tovech shelo mocher. On the other extreme, Rav Sheshes says before yesh you're pater at least on the mechira because the lo ahanu maser. If you're only chayiv, certainly tvicha mechir after yesh, maybe tvicha before yesh also. And Rav Nachman says no, you're chayiv always. It doesn't matter whether it's legally binding or not. Tvicha is chayiv both times, mechir is chayiv both times. Amar Rav Sheshes, how do I know this? Titanya. Amar Rabbi Akiva name Amar Tar Tavach Umacham Sham Dal Heimanish and Starish Bechet Amas Ilem Alifne Yeush Meek and Starish. I love Lacha Yeush. The same rise before. Alacha Yeushu. So Amar Rav Mesh Shana Bechet. Rav explains that no, that really Mishtarish Bechet doesn't mean the sale was binding and that therefore you don't have to assume, you don't need a binding sale to be Chai Dal Vehe. Rather, it's Shana Bechet, which means he din more averus, and that's true whether or not there was or wasn't yesh, and therefore it could be that you're chayav dal v'hei even before yesh, even though the sale's not binding. And then the similar vein, Amar Rava.
You said he could be reinterpreting the, he could be reformulating the brayta as opposed to reinterpreting the brayta.
No. The question is yes, it's possible. It doesn't say hachi katani, you know, or ema hachi. So it sounds like it's not an emendation, but the general tenor, he should have said, my nishtare shana. So he doesn't say, ema mitnei shashana b'chet, or hachi katani shashana b'chet, but nonetheless, so it doesn't, that is what you would expect if there were gears to change. But if it were an interpretation, you would expect it to have been, my nishtare shana. So I really can't tell whether it's emendation or interpretation. My inclination at this point is to stay with interpretation, because that generally was the derech already of Rav and Abaye. At that point, they're not amending quite as... They amend different... They would amend, I mean, a one-for-one word emendation, which looks like emendation would... Something that I don't think they usually do. That's my sense. I could be wrong. Epstein will talk about it in his Mavala Mishnah, how the different generations, you know, deal with these issues. Toshima utvacho mechar ramatvicha sheino chazeres amachir sheino chazeres, and that would suggest that it has to be a legally efficacious sale, like for sheishes. So ushma minah ilem emas ilem lefneir shemayin chazeres. It is a chazeres to sale. It's not binding. El la lachar yeishu ushma minah chiv lachar yeishu. Tir gemar Rav Nachman prat l'shehikna l'shloshim yom. Rav Nachman answered that question of sheishes by saying it's a case of a temporary sale, not a question of whether it's a binding sale or not a binding sale. It's a binding sale, but it's binding for 30 days. But a sale that wasn't binding at all, Machir, which was Betela, but a sale that was Betela, it's conceivable that you would be Chaydal Vahayon, because you attempted to sell it permanently. Okay. The Afra Blazar Savra Chiyuv Alachar Yeshu, the Amra Blazar, Teda, Shistam Geneva Yesh, Balmu Shemra Torah Tavachu Macha Mashalam Tishlami Arba Vachamisha. Now, the rest of this I think may not be a statement, but I think the Gemara is right anyway in terms of his original intent. He said that you know that Stam Geneva is Yesh Balim because the Torah says that if you steal something and you shecht it or you sell it, it says if you sell it, that you chayiv dal vahay. But who says that there was Yesh? Why does the Torah assume automatically when Ki Yigna Rishar said that the result is Yeir, so that when it comes to when it comes to selling it, the sale is legally binding? And he's assuming, I think, like Rob, no? Am I right about that? No, I'm sorry. He's assuming that before Yeush, you wouldn't be Chayev. It's his raya that Stam Geneva is Yeush Bailam is the fact that the Torah says if someone steals and sells it, it's a binding sale. And he's Chayev Dalvahay. And the assumption is, if there weren't any Yeush, it wouldn't be a binding sale, and then he wouldn't be Chayev Dalvahay because it wasn't a proper sale or a binding sale. Now, the fact that he thinks that that's a raya, that Stam Geneva is Yesh Balim, is because he assumes that if there was no Yeyush, then you wouldn't be Chayav Dalvahay on the Mechira, because it wasn't a binding sale. And now the Gemara just spells it out. So, hey, V'dilma lo yayish. So why don't you worry that maybe he didn't have Yeyush, and therefore you part in Dalvahay, Alam Yishun Damin, and Stam Geneva Yesh Balim he. Now, V'dilma afal gavda lo yayish, maybe even though he didn't have Yeyush, Amri. So maybe you should still say Chayav Dalvahay, like Rav Nachman. So the Gemara says, just filling in his thought process. Amri lo salka daitach lumi de tvicha matvicha dan amasaf achir dan amasaf. That is rishesius. Ve'ilif ne yeyush my ahanu. Now the Gemara has one third final question. Ve'dilma de shamine de iayish. No, maybe it's a case that Yechayah when he heard that he had yeyush. So Amri lo salka daitach lumi de tvicha matvicha la'altaf mechir la'altar. Just that tvicha would be immediate or could be immediate. Mechira could also be la'altar. And if it's la'altar, mistama he wouldn't have had yeyush. Yeah. I said this weeks ago. I mean, I said this when we started the thing. Putting the pieces together is not going to be a lot of fun. Yes, it's one after the other who don't communicate with each other. So I haven't glued the pieces together. You haven't quite figured it out yet. They have actually a different. This sugya has a different focus. The strange one is what the Rishonim point out is that Rabbah before Samach Zayin Amud Beis, and then Rabbah afterwards, right? And here Nachman Rosh Hashanah comes up Derech Agav, and it's going to come in a moment of Rabbi Yochanan Meish Lakish.
It's like they don't quote any of the sources. They're different sources.
Yeah, so that's what I mentioned last week in Big Kiyas. As Tosa says, all the kashas the Gemara asked against Rabbah, they could have asked against Rav and vice versa, but they didn't bother. It's like they're not talking to each other. And the truth is, the place that I expect it to be is Rabbi Yochanan Meish Lakish, because that's Eretz Yisrael. So you expect that, and they do come last here, by the way. One more example, where Rabbi Yochanan Meish Lakish are the afterthought to the sugya. But why the earlier, all those bavli sugyas? And certainly, again, Rav Nachman Rav Sheish, the focus isn't on whether Yeish is kona or not, because they're both assuming Yeish kedi lo kani. They're just focusing on the question of whether Mechira has to be efficacious. You know, and assuming Yeish lo kani. So at least they're not arguing about that issue. Rabban and Rav Yosef in the first sugya, Rav against, I don't know who, in the second sugya, and then finally Reuch HaShlakish, all argue about whether Yeish Kediyas Kani or not. You know, and the sugya in Gittin also doesn't get referenced here. And I don't remember if anything of this is referenced in Gittin, of Ula and Rav Yehuda. It's very odd. Very odd. I don't know the answer yet, but yes. Shalom?
I have a question and a comment, I guess.
Yes.
So, do you assume that Rava holds that Yeush is Kona? Because of the way he amended the Braita?
No.
Then what's his whole purpose?
He's just explaining how Rav would...
He's explaining for Rav.
Right.
He doesn't necessarily hold that.
I mean, yes. Talk about Psak Halacha for a second. Rav himself doesn't adopt the position. How do you pass him? This is a thorny one. Tosus already points it out here, I think, on Samaches somewhere. It's a really... Yeah, Rabbi Yochanan. It's a very thorny one, because Rav and Rabbi Yosef, who do we paskin like? Normally. Rabba, who says, Yesh Kedikani. Rabbi Yochanan and Shlakish, who do we paskin like normally? Rabbi Yochanan stands three cases or so the Gemara has in Yivamas. Right? Rabbi Yochanan holds Yesh Kedikani Lo Kani. Tosha starts out with an assumption that we should paskin like Rabba, then what do we do? What do you do to Yochanan? And then you got to love the end, Ayal, because this is your question, my question. Tosa says, V'yishlomai de'eshad lo'kaim lo'karab lo'kar b'yochanan. D'kama amoroi nech l'ku b'shnei elu advarim. I mean, it's descriptive of the almost chaos in this entire piece. This Shlomo was why I had a half a minute to do all the way through in Bikias, right?
The Rishonim disagree about it all.
What's that?
The Rishonim.
I'm sure we must pass. We pass in Yesh Kedilo Kani, I bet you all the Rishonim hold that way. Tosh is a fleeting hava, I mean, here, but I think it's a davar pashut. We paskin, at least midaraisa, yesh. Certainly midaraisa, maybe even ladina. Yesh kedi lo kani. But the Rabbanan, they accounted yesh for certain things. The Rambam says certain things, but yeah. Shalom?
Just maybe as a side point, it seems like maybe all these three sugyot develop independently because they're from different places.
Well, that is a possibility. Oh, it's interesting that the editors never chose to weave anything together. And the other piece is, again, Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, I agree. That's my standard thing, that Eretz Yisrael sugyas come in at the end of a longer sugya and don't get interwoven. But the fact that Rav, you know, but Ula Rav Yehuda, Rav, and Rav Rav Yosef, I would have expected Rav at least is chronologically clearly earlier. His Torah should have been referenced. Okay, you want to say Rav and Rav Yosef are third generation, Ula's third generation, Rav Yehuda's second generation. You want to say that, again, I don't know the geography, I should, but I don't. So you want to say that maybe it's different. But, okay, and the fact that nobody wove it together later, I don't know why.
Rav Rav Yosef and the Bayer are all from the Gita, but they're not from the Shishet, and Rav are all Mechosa. So it makes sense to put them in separate studio if they were.
Who's Mechosa?
Or Shishet, Nathan, and Rav. I'm pretty sure.
Rav, because Rav Nachman's Rav is Rebbe. That's clear. So I don't know. You see, but even ultimately, the fact that they're not ultimately woven together. See, the Eretz Yisrael Torah, my assumption is, which is not provable, is that the sugyas may come very late from Eretz Yisrael, and therefore they don't work them in. Or Beshita, they don't work them in because they're Eretz Yisrael sugyas. You don't tend to see that with other things. That's not my. It's my just sense. Okay. Anyway. Okay. So Amar Lei. Let's just read with this. Finish with this sentence, then I'll take questions. Lama. Amar Lei, Rabbi Yochanan Geneva Benefesh Tochir Shein Yesh Ba'al V'Chayiv. Rabbi Yochanan says to him that no, you don't need. It's a very funny tushdel. It's the Genevas Nefashos. Where you need Mechir as well to be Chayiv, right? To Chayiv the death penalty. So he says, for those who don't know the term Tushtel, I know every year, probably once I talk about the term, it's a Yiddish term. The German it would be Tushtelen, which simply means to stand up or to make stand or something like that. It means to make correspondence. So when you say a Tushtel between two machlokas, it means they line up. There's a correspondence. So it's a very funny comparison in this case from Geneva Benefesh and its Mechira to Geneva Behemoth its Mechira, since there's no inyan of kinyan shayach by there's no din you have to be koner your kidnapped victim in order to be chayav in the chira. In fact, to some extent, there's a din lehefach. What's the din if a person kidnaps his son and sells his son? And there may be machlokas there. Maybe everybody agrees. You potter because he's brishusa. No, no, that's not kidnapping and stealing. That's selling into avdus.
Well, yeah.
Don't ask me why that's not, you know, I never thought about that. It's a good question. But you don't kidnap them, you just sell them there.
How do you get them?
But suppose a person kidnaps a son, there's a sheet that says that a gbeno is brushuso already, so therefore it's not the yinachayev. So if anything, you know, having ownership over the person you steal, not quite ownership, makes you less chayev. Well, I guess that's true here as well. So never mind. Okay. Rabbi Yochanan says, by Geneva Benefesh, you don't need Jeyush, and nonetheless, you're still chayev on the Mechira. So the answer might be, because the Mechira here, by definition, is never efficacious. Whereas the Mechira by an animal could be efficacious. The Gemara in first on this, Rabbi Yochanan, Mechlal the sever Rabbi Yochanan lefnei Yeyush chayev. You see, Rabbi Yochanan holds that even before Yeyush, you're chayev. La'acha yeish, what's the din? My Rabbi Yochanan Machayev Yishlakish Amar Potter. Rabbi Yochanan Machayev Chiyuve Bein Lefneish Bein La'acha yeish. Yishlakish. And this, you guys will agree with me, means you're chayev on both, right? No way around this. It's not that it's called a mechira before it. You're chayev. Yishlakish Amar Potter Chiyuve Lefneishu Aval Acha yeish Kana Yishalot Aver Shalom Ocher. Very much like Rav and like Rabba. Okay, fine. All right, we'll leave the ace face for next time, but. So this is where it concludes. Okay. Anybody have any questions? First, are there any questions left on the Gemara?
They already lost the appetite for that. He moved on to the.